Hello and welcome to our podcast. The topic of discussion today is dialogue with other religions and specifically Islam. Now, I'm joined by Dr. Damien Howard, a Jesuit priest, who actually teaches a course entitled Understanding Islam. That's a course for Catholics living and working with Muslims. It takes place at Campion Hall in Oxford, and it's free, you should note, kindly sponsored by Georgetown University, Washington, D.C. Now, I hear this is a very, very popular course, Damien. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, it's been going for about a year now, and each time it's been sold out, we try and do it for about 10 people, 10 Catholics of various conditions of life in various parts of the country. So we've had priests, we had a bishop, in fact, we had lay people, seminarians, all sorts of people, and they come, and it's a fairly intimate group, and it's sold out for the next year or so, I think. So it's doing very well indeed.
Rather a general question, but what is it, do you think, that we perhaps don't understand about Islam?
I'm not sure if there's anything particularly we don't understand, but there's an awful lot of ignorance in society generally. The various sources that people in Britain rely on for their information about Islam are usually pretty unreliable, and there's a lack of good information, reliable opinion.
Is it commonplace for people to have a certain fear of Islam?
I think it's very commonplace, yes. I mean, for one obvious reason, the sort of the terrorist crisis of the last decades very much affected people's imaginations, and some very strange opinions that people have about violence and Islam. But then, of course, there's you've got a sort of huge increase in the numbers of Muslims living in the UK, and in parts of the country that's very pronounced. And well, when you're suddenly surrounded by people from a different religion who seem very different from you, and you've only heard bad things about them, it can be quite scary. And so it's important to address that and to give people better information.
So talk to me a little bit about how you go about that. I'm not necessarily saying the structure of the course, but when you're presented perhaps early on with the preconceptions or the stereotypes, how do you go about just sort of giving good information and correcting that?
Well, it's I suppose the various different tactics. One is to be trying to be clear and to be objective. Never that easy when you're talking about someone else's religion to sort of speak in a way that person would recognise, but that's certainly what we try to do. Another really important factor is actually getting a Muslim in to come and talk to the group. It's usually one of the most important moments of the whole week, I think. You know, I could say that some of our participants have been very struck by that experience of actually meeting a young Muslim, a competent professional guy who will talk very honestly about the Muslim communities in the UK, speak a little bit about how he's grown up, how he's experienced being British, and then to field questions. And again, I think to be quite honest about his take on things. That's usually actually the most powerful thing you can do.
Do you think there's a sort of reverse thing where you have Muslims thinking, well, I kind of need to know more about Christianity as well?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, one of the differences between Christians and Muslims with regard to their mutual relationship is to be a Muslim, you already have an understanding of what Christianity is. Now, in fact, that understanding is pretty far from what you and I as Christians would recognize. We Christians, we don't have to think about Islam in order to be Christians, so there's a difference there. Yeah, Muslims have a basic understanding that Christianity is kind of a failed form of Islam. That's pretty hard for us to deal with in some ways. That's pretty hurtful to hear. But then, of course, most Muslims would actually have quite a generous way of affirming and endorsing what they see as sort of remnants of their own faith in Christian belief and practice. So it's an exercise in humility for Christians to face that, and also a real challenge to us to check out that we understand our own faith sufficiently to be able to understand why we insist on something like the divinity of Jesus, why we insist on something like the Trinity, and to give reasons for that. So in a way, what I often find is that Christians, as they learn something about Islam, want to get to know their own faith better.
Now, in a sense, though, I think sometimes, and I'll use myself as an example of this, we sort of self-entrench a little bit, because when I was in Tehran, in Iran, I thought to myself, well, you know, there were things that really surprised me, the reverence for Our Lady, the, you know, Christ as a prophet. You know, I thought, oh, they're not going to like Jesus, and oh, not going to like Our Lady, that's going to be sort of blasphemous or something. So I was taken, I thought I knew plenty, but clearly didn't know some very fundamental aspects.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I mean, reverence for Jesus as a prophet is very, very strong and very important. And Muslims will often say to us, you know, we recognize Jesus as a prophet. Why can't you recognize Muhammad as a prophet? And of course, that's extremely problematic because to recognize Muhammad as a prophet basically is to become a Muslim. And so that's a difficult question to answer. And that's one of the questions that we look at on the course, actually. But yes, there's an awful lot that's very impressive about Muslim practice. And I think Westerners are often very impressed, or Western Christians are often very impressed with the sheer enthusiasm that many Muslims, especially young Muslims, have for their faith.
Is it points of commonality? Is that where we start? Do we look at, I don't know, social action? Do we look at those areas where both religions are quite well defined in supporting a certain line or upholding the dignity of human life, so on and so forth? Do you start with that common ground?
I wouldn't start there. I mean, that's maybe where you want to get to. But I think starting by understanding each other is a much more important thing to do for religious people. I mean, you know, the social action is really important, don't get me wrong. But I think, you know, as Christians, meeting Muslims, both as people of a religious commitment, it's important to get to understand what that commitment is. Because it's not that obvious. It's not that obvious. Common ground is important. And Muslims often want to talk about common ground, above all. The tricky thing for us Christians is that what's most important to us is not common.
If we look at some of the questions that might be asked of you, or some of the misapprehensions, do you ever get asked things like, well, okay, the Abrahamic God, I mean, are we talking about the same God? Do people ask you that?
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting question at the moment, actually. A couple of quite important books are coming out addressing that issue. It's a tricky one, because the documents of Vatican II, as of course you realize, say that Christians and Muslims worship the one true God. So in a sense, the Church has given us an answer to that question, and a lot of Catholics are very surprised indeed to hear that. Quite what that means is not that straightforward, I think. Not a huge amount of work has been done by Catholics trying to work out exactly what that formula commits us to. What it clearly doesn't mean is that Christianity or Catholics endorse Islam as a salvific religion, as if we could. I mean, who's to know? That's the kind of question that only God can answer. Christians aren't authorized to say Islam is a pathway to God. We don't know. Christians are, and I think have to be open to the fact, the possibility that God is at work in the Islamic world in some way. That's a bit of a different way of thinking about it, but I think that's the way we would today come at the issue.
Are people also interested in the different, forgive me for using the word strands, but the different arms of Islam, like Shia, Sunni? Do you find you're talking about that aspect, or is it simply, here's Islam, here's Christianity or Catholicism?
One of the really important aspects of the whole course, I think, is to define or to give an account of just how varied the Islamic world is. People tend to come to a course like this thinking of Islam as some great monolithic entity, and all Muslims act and think in exactly the same way. And of course, that's absolutely not true. It's not helped by the fact that some Muslims will sort of tell people this, partly as a kind of proselytism, partly just to defend their own faith. On the whole, we don't go around telling other people how wonderfully divided Christianity is, and isn't this a wonderful thing? So it's not surprising if Muslims tend to exaggerate the unity of Islam. But the Islamic world is very divided. And it's very helpful indeed, I think, to people to understand why, you know, the imam in that mosque behaves a little bit differently towards Christians from the one in that mosque, and why that Muslim is so open and that one is so closed, you know. And it makes a huge difference who you're talking to. And it's not straightforward either, because obviously it's not just a matter of denominations like you have in Christianity, but of all sorts of different things going on in the modern era. Islam developing, you know, faced with the challenges of modernity in quite new ways.
You mentioned generosity earlier, and I think that's a good point. Hospitality, I would also say, is something that can be something of a surprise to those of us who haven't really enjoyed the hospitality of a Muslim before. I mean, I was treated exceptionally well in Tehran, and I had all these sort of, oh, you know, obviously I won't be able to drink alcohol, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that. But it wasn't it didn't feel like a prohibitive state of being. It actually felt like, come in, be with us. Here's what we want to do for you. Couldn't do enough for me, frankly.
It's an important category, that hospitality. Louis Massignon, the great French Catholic Islamicist, whose work was so influential on the Vatican II statement about other religions, his great concern was his experience of Muslim hospitality, and he thought this was, you know, one of the key ways in which God manifested himself in the Muslim world. You're absolutely right. I mean, partly because they're often in places like Tehran or in the Middle East, you're dealing with a more traditional culture, and there the virtue of hospitality is a lot stronger than it would be, you know, in Belgravia. So that's part of it. But there is this tremendous sense of the desire to welcome the stranger, and I think it can be quite a moment of conversion for Christians when they experience that.
And finally, Damien, you've run this course a couple of times now, more to come, clearly. What are you trying to get out of this, or what would you like people to take away from it?
Well, I would love it if Catholics could go back to their parishes and their schools and their various other institutions feeling empowered to deal more confidently, more competently with Muslims. That means various things. It means understanding the basic position that Muslims might be taking on a particular issue. It means being respectful of the differences. It means not saying stupid things about Christianity. And when I say stupid things, I mean the kind of things that Christians often say, think are going to make Christianity sound terribly attractive, but in fact, for Muslims, make it rather more unpleasant in some ways. So it's about learning how to present Christianity and Christian faith in a way that's that makes a bit of sense to Muslims.
And if I'm not one of the lucky 10 or 12 people...
You can be. Come on. We'll,
you'll show me that hospitality.
Absolutely. Yes.
But are there any other sort of resources or places people can go if they've just got that very entry-level question of, ooh, I'd like to know a bit more about Islam? Can you direct people towards any resources?
Well, there are plenty of introductions to Islam these days, and they've all got their good points and their disadvantages. There's one book I like very much. It's by a guy called Chris Hewer. It's called Understanding Islam, same name as the course. Understanding Islam, the First 10 Steps. I always recommend that. It's written really clearly. It's really reliable. It's written by a Christian, so he can, you know, understand a little bit about the sorts of questions that Christians have, but it's been, you know, informed by many years of dialogue with Muslims.
Well, perhaps we haven't covered 10 steps today, but we've had a decent introduction to it. So, Dr. Damien Howard, thank you ever so much. Please keep
thank
in
you.
Touch.
It's been a pleasure.
Let us know how it goes and come back into the studio and give us some updates.
I'd be delighted.
Thank you.